You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the European Tour Race to Dubai show as Jubilant Jaidee lands the Nordea Masters in Sweden.
I tried so hard this week anyway. Very happy, you know, to finish about 16 under par.
His sixth European Tour victory had to come via a playoff after beating Scotland's Stephen Gallagher and France's Victor Dubuisson.
It's like it was not meant to be. You always want to win, but it's a good result.
We also speak to young Englishman Eddie Pepperell, who went into the final day one off the lead and playing with home favourite Henrik Stenson.
There's a lot of good guys out there, a lot of good players, but I've never played with anybody that I felt had something that I haven't got or cannot have, and that's the most important thing.
Ewan Murray joins me this week to look back at all the news and reaction from Malmo. Plus, we look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Lyonnais Open in Austria with Miguel Ángel Jiménez. Good day to you, Ewan. How are you?
I'm in top form, Rob.
Yeah, good, safe trip up here. No problems at all on the roads?
No problems whatsoever. And, of course, a great weekend's golf.
Yeah, fantastic week in Sweden. Brand new golf course. The players all getting used to a new layout, and it looked pretty good.
Well done, Sweden, is what I thought, looking at the pictures. Their national PGA course, and they turned out in the thousands. And the atmosphere for the Nordea Masters was stunning. It was a great success story.
They didn't quite get what they wanted, and that was Henrik Stenson bringing home the bacon.
Well, it's one of the hardest things to do, apart from winning a major championship, is perhaps winning your national championship. And Stenson would have looked upon that event as his national championship. But he played well. He's in good form. He's in better form than he was at this time last year. And we all remember what happened in the second half of the season. So things are looking good for him. Some consolation there.
Yeah, they sure are. Interesting last couple of holes for when it's a tight finish like that. Water on 17, the par 3 and 18. Anything can happen on that par 5. Pretty good.
Water's an amazing hazard because it goes straight into the mind. No longer do you think about technique when there's water there. You think about avoiding it. And one or two did that at 17, left themselves difficult second shots. Those who took it on had the chance of a birdie too. It's good, strong finish to that course.
Are you amazed with our winner, Tongchai Jaidee? I mean, the older he gets, a bit like Miguel Ángel Jiménez, the better he seems to be as a player.
Yeah, Far Eastern Jiménez is a pretty good way of describing him. And, you know, he had a difficult start to his professional career in the sense that he couldn't start it until late on. They have their national service over in Thailand, which they have to go through. So he's a late entry to the professional game. And there's been a few of these. Jiménez, we've talked about there. He's played his best golf since he turned 30. He's won more often since he turned 40. And he's still winning, having turned 50. And I can see Jaidee adding to the six titles he now has.
Yeah, Jaidee, a phenomenal win. Had to do it in a playoff. Yeah, he wasn't alone because Victor Dubuisson has been out. He's been playing in the States. He's had a bit of injury problems. Come back and played phenomenal golf again. The boy has got something.
I think it shows how confident he is in his own ability. Very difficult thing to do to be out for 5 weeks. That's a long time for a professional golfer. And you come back and you find your best form right away. So I think it shows that he's going to be a strong player for McGinley in September up in Scotland, and probably more wins ahead for him.
Perhaps for Stephen Gallagher as well, who was the third person in the playoff. But those two lost out to Tongchai Jaidee. Another fantastic win for the Thai, 65 in the final round. Let's hear from him.
I tried so hard this week anyway. I'm very happy, you know, to finish about 16 under par. I think I never played at like a 16 under par in European before. I think this one is first time, yeah. This week, the key change, we got putting a whole lot of long putt, about 3 or 4 holes, otherwise the key change. And also feeling is I'll be confident, so I make it a good feeling and then try to get back anyway, you know. That's the key for me, you know, putting.
Wonderful man. A Thai, Miguel Ángel Jiménez, is absolutely the perfect way to describe him when he's getting interviewed. But he's full of confidence, he's ebullient, and he's done well with the putting, Ewan, because at one point he went to the belly putter to try and negate maybe the few twitchy ones, back on the normal one. Credit.
And as you've heard from him there, that was the main reason, or at least that's what he puts down to his latest victory. But tremendously popular lad. He has his own restaurant back in Thailand, which he runs from time to time when he gets home. He has a pal up at St Andrews, a Thai pal who has his own restaurant there. And Jaidee has been known to do some waitering in there during the Alfred Dunhill Cup. So he's an all-round good chap and a very fine player.
Yeah, he is, and seems to be, as he gets older and into his 40s, getting better. It's quite incredible. Sixth win on the European Tour in his 274th European Tour event. His first European Tour victory since the 2012 ISPS Hand at Wales Open. And he's learned to win in European conditions, because that was what people used to say about him. Ah, yes, he can win in Asia, but he can't win in Europe. Can't say that anymore.
And you can say that about a lot of the Far Eastern players who have had great success in their homeland and find it difficult to come over here and reciprocate that. But I think the win in Wales was a huge win for him, because that was the first one outside his patch, if you like. So I think we'll probably see more from him. He's fit, he's strong, he hits the ball a reasonable distance, and I would say his strength is that he has no weaknesses.
No, he's very, very impressive as a total golfer, as is Victor Dubuisson. I mean, do we look at him as the complete golfer, or is he that kind of streaky-like player?
I often look at players who go from Europe too early to the United States, and hopefully that's not going to happen to him. He seems that he's fairly settled when he plays in the United States, but it can work the other way. Then you lose some confidence, then you come home and you're not as strong as perhaps you were a year or two back. I think he's very much a loner to Dubuisson, and I think he'd be pretty happy wherever he is. But very impressive to come back after a long layoff and play golf of that quality.
No, he's certainly a person who takes his own path around the world. Let's put it that way. Let's hear from Victor after a very fine event.
I didn't play for 5 weeks before this tournament, and I didn't really know what to expect this week. And right now I'm a little disappointed, you know, because I had a good chance to win. Yeah, I made some good putts, but it's like it was not meant to be. But no, I'm happy about the way I played this week. You always want to win, so it's good to finish second, but it's a good result after such a break and with my shoulder injury. Next time maybe I will have these things to win, yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing him in the Ryder Cup side, because he's bang to rights. He's in there now.
For sure, and he has a short game from heaven. And we saw that at the Accenture Match Play Championship. We saw it in Turkey last year, that he wasn't scared to take on the world's best. Remember, Woods was breathing down his neck there, and he lost a 5-shot lead only to regain it and go ahead and win. So, yeah, exciting player and an interesting individual.
And one of a good crop of French players that are now making their way onto the golf European Tour, for sure. So, Dubuisson lost out to Tongchai Jaidi. So did Stevie G, Stephen Gallagher. Again, like a fine wine, getting better as he gets older.
Well, there was a problem at Wentworth when Tony Jacklin said he was a bit iffy under pressure, and maybe that sparked him into life, because he had a really good weekend at the BMW PGA Championship, and really he should have won over in Sweden. But the push tee shot at 17 left him a tricky bunker shot, and to his credit he made the birdie at the last, but couldn't make the birdie that he needed eventually to extend that playoff. But he's had a very good season, great success over in Dubai, and he's brought with that success a whole lot of confidence to his game.
Yeah, tremendous prospect going forward, Stevie G, and we may well see him in the Ryder Cup side in Gleneagles when we get there. Let's hear from him and how his week was.
It was good to get into the playoff, hold a lovely putt in the last, after lipping out 17-16-17. JD just had a lovely shot in the last, you know, I was playing tough, 3 shots. But overall, it was a great tournament, you know, lots of crowd, good course. But I was hoping to peak for a couple of weeks. I knew I'd been playing well, so third and then second, it's not bad. You know, I'm delighted with that.
Yeah, and he should be delighted, because his good form continues. And if you want to be a player and you want to be successful in the European Tour, Ewan, this has got to be the time you want to be playing well, right now, end of May, start of June.
This is it, Ryder Cup year as well, virtually 3 full months now before Paul McGinley finalises his side for Gleneagles, and wouldn't Stephen Gallagher want to be in that? He was brought up no more than 40 minutes away from Gleneagles. He's played in the Johnny Walker Championship up there every year with distinction. So he's got a lot to look forward to, and if he can keep this form going, I see no reason why he shouldn't walk into that side on his own merit. In the end, very close, but another top finish from him.
And a top finish for Henrik Stenson, but, you know, how great would his disappointment be because he didn't win his National Open?
Always a disappointment when you've had a chance to win it. And, of course, had he managed to make the four at the last, it would have been all so different rather than the 6 that he did make. But I don't think he'll dwell too much on that. We're coming to a time of the season that's exciting. We've got the second major on the way in just over a week's time. And then the Open Championship, the PGA is upon you, the World Golf Championships. And he's got to defend, of course, the FedEx. So he's got a lot to think of in the future, and he shouldn't waste too much energy looking behind him.
Well, let's hear what the world number two had to say.
Just one of them days where not quite get it going and missed one or two opportunities and let a couple of bogeys slip in on the card too easy. And, you know, you can't afford that if you want to win the tournament. And I'm still fighting and I'm still in with the shot on the last and just missed it in the wrong place there, too far right. I tried to play it in off the right and pushed it a bit and left me in a pretty bad spot, to be honest.
Well, another fine performance from Henrik Stenson, and compared to his form at the start of the year, this is very good news for him. Robert Karlsson also finishing a creditable sixth. And another name that was right up there for the entire week, really, was young Englishman Eddie Pepperell. He equaled his best finish on tour in Sweden, tied sixth at Wentworth last year, and I'm delighted to say he joins us on the line. Eddie, how are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, Rob.
And the game's in very good shape.
Yeah, the game's certainly getting better. I mean, last week was good. I must say I played well for the duration of the tournament, which was, you know, really pleasing because despite, you know, having some good spells in Spain and Wentworth, there was still some poor stuff in there. But last week in Sweden, you know, generally speaking, the whole week I was pretty good, tee to green, and the whole game really was good. So that's exciting for me moving forward.
Eddie, Ewan Murray here. What's been the difference over the last two or three weeks since you found your form again?
I've just been doing the right things with my coach, certainly, for about a month now. Just gone back to doing what I was doing, to be honest, when I first started working with him. You know, and that's all, really. Form, I suppose, is a really funny thing, isn't it? You know, I know as a golfer that when things are in the right place, then it just happens. You know, you just play good golf, and that's, I think, what happens with me. I'm just a reaction to all the processes and all the things that go into me. So, yeah, that's all I can put it down to, you know, just doing the right things, working hard, and, yeah, letting it happen.
People will wonder, who listen to the Race to Dubai show regularly, Eddie, when things were going well last year, why did you make a change?
I don't know. I think I almost got a little bored. I got a little complacent. You know, it all came quite easy to me. I started working with Mike. I was surprised at how well I started playing, and all of a sudden I was turning up at events just having to simply do what Mike was telling me, and seeing that I would, you know, make the cuts quite comfortably and be earning good amounts of money. And yeah, for some reason, you know, I don't know why I changed. Got a little bored, I got a little complacent, I wanted a new, fresh thing, I suppose, and that was silly. You know, it cost me a little bit of progress. But, you know, things like that do happen at the beginnings of you know, a lot of people's careers, and, yeah, of course, it's frustrating, but as long as I don't make the same mistake again, then I'm confident that I'll only go one way from here.
Eddie, of all the players that you've played with so far in your young career, who's impressed you the most?
I mean, Henrik, obviously playing with Henrik yesterday was fantastic. I mean, even though he wasn't his best, you know, you can see that every aspect of his game is great and he's got a great mentality. Well, I played with Charles Schwartzel last year at the Dunhill Links in the final round, and he was just effortless, shooting 5 on par in fairly breezy conditions. And, yeah, I would probably put them two guys, certainly. Those are the best golfers that I've played with, but there's a lot of good guys out there, a lot of good players, but I've never played with anybody that I felt had something that I haven't got or cannot have, and that's the most important thing.
Very positive note. What's your schedule from now through the summer?
I've got a couple of weeks off now, and then I'm playing Ireland all the way through to the Scottish Open, which will be 4 in a row, and then may qualify for the Open out of that, which would be great. And then there's a fairly lengthy break. I think it's 3 or 4 weeks, which is going to work well for me because I've got plans. I work really hard physically. I've been working hard lately, but to have 4 weeks off in the middle of the year is a long time, and that gives me a great opportunity to improve a lot physically. And, yeah, I'll use that well. And then that sort of sends me into a spree at the end of the year where I think there'll probably be 7 or 8 or 9 events in quite quick succession. And hopefully from there on, you know, get towards the Race to Dubai, and if I'm there, then great.
Well, Eddie, it seems like you're in a really good place. You're playing some great stuff. The summer's going to be exciting. Thanks very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai show, and we'll see you through the coming weeks.
Yes, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, good to hear Eddie there. And he seems very level-headed, Ewan.
He does. I think that's a good thing at that age. I think he's taking one step at a time, which is important, and his ambitions are not too high up there. And then you have the disappointment of not reaching them. So one step at a time at that age is fine. The next step for him, obviously, is to get up there, challenge again, and this time, hopefully, a different outcome.
Let's watch his progress with very acute interest. OK, tips-wise, I went for Shane Lowry, who finished tied 25th. I thought he might carry on after playing so well at Wentworth. Didn't quite happen for Shane. And Dan Roebuck, the betting ombudsman of the United Kingdom, went for Francesco Molinari, and he tied 101st. So I think it's Robert 1 and Dan 0. Top 10 from the Nordea Masters, Ewan.
That's another successful week for you two, by the way. Well, J.D., we've talked about his victory in the playoff against Gallagher and Dubuisson. So on. Robert-Jan Derksen, an interesting character, 65 in the final round. He was going to give up the game in Dubai, and that would be the end of his professional career. Played quite well. They decided to press on. and he may well be there with us next year. Stenson Pepperell, we've talked about. Carlsen's 63 in the final round, the best of Sunday. And good to see Alvaro Quiros back on form. A top quality player, born winner, just lost his way a little bit over the last few years or so. But we'll see the best of him in the future. And a very fine round from David Hell, a 66 on Sunday. David back on form and tying with Rafael Cabrera Bell.
And the top 10 in the race to Dubai, always crucial for us Europeans.
Still led by Thomas Bjorn. Jaidi's win takes him just outside the top 10 in 11th place. Stenson occupies 10th. Sergio Garcia in 8th place there. The Evergreen Jimenez in 7th. Ahead of him, Stephen Gallagher, Victor Dubuisson, Lee Oosthuizen, Jamie Donaldson. And in 2nd place in that race to Dubai, Rory McIlroy.
And Rory McIlroy getting better by the week as well. Top 10 in the world rankings. We'll run through these as well.
No change. Adam Scott up at the top. Henrik Stenson in 2nd. But Tiger Woods now drops to 4th and is replaced in 3rd by Bubba Watson, who narrowly missed out on the Memorial. The ever-consistent Matt Kuchar in 5. McIlroy remains 6. And just behind him, Jason Day, Garcia, Justin Rose and young Jordan Spieth, just into his 20s, in 10th place.
Yeah, fantastic year he's having, that is for sure. And we'd like to keep working on this show, Ewan, the Ryder Cup rankings.
Yes, I see that.
Yes.
Ryder Cup rankings, two ways, of course, for qualifying. There's the European points list, and out of that right now, you'd have Dubuisson, Thomas Bjorn, Jamie Donaldson and Henrik Stenson. So a strong four there. You cross over to the world points list, you'd have McIlroy, Garcia, Donald, Rose and Martin Kaymer. Things for McGinley right now looking very good.
Yeah, it's all shaping up very nicely for the captain, no doubt about that. Just a few bits of news to give you before we look ahead to this week's event, the Lyonnais Open in Austria. Japan's Hideki Matsuyama picked up his first ever win on the PGA Tour by beating Kevin Na in a playoff to win the Memorial Tournament Jacks event in Dublin, Ohio. Na found the creek with his drive on the first extra hole. Matsuyama's approach went left, hit a spectator, bounced off a knee, and then he made a brilliant up and down from an unlikely spot to claim his first victory in America. And what a tournament to win as a starter for 10. Fantastic form from Japan's Hideki Matsuyama, and only 22. A word on Paul Casey. He looks to be getting back to his old self. He played rather well last week. Could have been better, though. Had a poor third round. Rory McIlroy had a blistering start with a 63 on day one, which was extraordinary. I don't think Jack enjoyed that very much. That had a double bogey in it as well.
Well, he had three double bogeys in the 78 that followed. And all credit to McIlroy. He seems to take these knocks on the chin and presses on. We saw Wentworth, he was a long way back there. 7 shots behind in the final round, comes through and wins, and yet still had a strong finish over in Dublin and Ohio there, despite that 78 second round.
And you and Rory McIlroy was not the only big winner at Wentworth Club last weekend, as charitable causes were able to benefit to the tune of over £300,000 from a range of initiatives before and during the 2014 BMW PGA Championship. So a big thanks to everybody that got involved and in fact donated some money as well to good causes. Thank you very much for that. On the Challenge Tour, Thomas Linard fired a superb 64 at Golf and Spa Connecticut Hora to claim a maiden professional title at the D plus D Real Czech Challenge. Starting 2 shots behind the leading threesome, the Frenchman raced to the turn in 30 strokes, carding 7 birdies in his first 10 holes to take himself to the top of the leaderboard. And finally, in the fancy race to Dubai, Rudy Perdon is top of the tree with his team Golf Geiskeech. Rudy, I apologise because I tried that last week and it appears I've made an equally terrible job of saying Golf Geiskeech. Anyway, Rudy is just clear of David Martin. Go to EuropeanTour.com to get involved. It is a lot of fun. We are playing that game ourselves very badly indeed. So the race to Dubai heads to Austria this week for the Lyonnais Open. We'll be flying into lovely Vienna. Ewan brings back memories.
Wonderful place. Great part of Europe. Very special part of Europe. And a special place for Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Well, he's relocated because his wife is Austrian. So, yeah, it's almost like a home event for him there now. He'll be a big, big crowd puller.
For sure. And they like the golf in that part of the world. And they'll move on from where Sweden left off last week. And we should have some good atmosphere.
Yeah, it should be a terrific atmosphere. Well, let's hear from Miguel Angel Jimenez, who, as I said before, has made his home in Vienna with his new wife. Our man Nick Dye caught up with him to get the lowdown on the event.
Well, it's nice, no, it's fine. No, it's, I've been playing several times now and we'll be fine. It's my home now and should be good, helpful for the US Open.
You said that so naturally that Austria, Vienna is my home now. Does it feel like home? It's nice having family like this.
Well, yes, it's, I'm married to an Austrian girl and I live now in Vienna because at, my wife from there, and I live there now, and I love it too. Very nice.
What are your thoughts on the tournament itself? Always seems to be played on an immaculately tended course with very lovely greens.
No, it's very nice. No, this Diamond golf course is a great golf course. It's a nice track, nice test.
Well, he'll be looking forward to playing in front of his adopted home crowd in Vienna, Miguel Ángel Jiménez, and probably is the top draw. An amazing man, Ewan, probably the most amazing man in the world of golf.
I think there's a lesson to be learned by many of the youngsters from Miguel. He lives his life the way he enjoys his life. Therefore, when he goes out on the golf course, there's no pressure on him. And it shows. His long game is better, perhaps, than it's ever been. And he retains a sound and sure touch around the green. So he's the full package.
Yeah, is there any sort of way that he's undervalued as a player? Do you think he doesn't get the plaudits he should get?
I think he does. Been over in the States recently, he had one hit at the Champions Tour in Atlanta and he knocked that one off as well. So they're beginning to take notice of him over there. He will go over there now and again and play in the Champions Tour events. But while he's competitive on the European Tour, there's no real need to do that.
No, he's going to probably stay as long as he can while he can break his record for the fourth time. And it could happen this week. Speaking of this week and the field that are playing, highlight some of the players that are taking part in Austria.
Well, Jiménez, we've talked about the defending champion there, Joost Luiten. He will be a strong contender. I think he's a very fine player. One of the best players we have on the European Tour, technically and mentally.
Let's hear from him.
I'm looking forward to go again. I like the place, I like the course. The people are really nice. So I'm looking forward to play that course again.
Pretty special, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it's always nice winning tournaments. It's my first time that I'm going to defend, so I'm really looking forward to the week.
And the nature of the victory as well, the way that you sort of crept through and then seal things.
Yeah, no, I basically lead from beginning till the end, and it's a bit different pressure than when you come from behind, but it was a good experience, and I was very proud that I kept it going the last round as well and win by two.
Are you a different player as a result?
Oh, I think you learn a lot from those victories, and I'm more experienced now, so I think I have changed a little bit over the last year with two wins, and it makes you just a better player.
Jose Maria Olazabal's in the field again, attempting to rebuild his career, get up there and win another tournament somewhere?
Well, he's got to try and keep in shape. 50's not too far away for Olazabal, and he's a golfer. He's a born golfer and a born tournament player. He will want to play as long as he can, especially with the gap he had in the middle of his career with the injury problems he had.
And you were saying earlier on that you were very pleased to see that Anthony Wall was competing.
Anthony Wall, who played so well at Wentworth over 3 days, fell away a bit on the final day. Søren Hansen is back. He's in flashes, showed some of his former talents there. Again, he needs a run. It's very difficult to be out of this game and come back and play well right away. That's what impressed me with Dubuisson on last week.
Who are you tipping?
It's historic, you know, Vienna. It's a relatively new golf course. It's got a lot of water on it. It needs to be negotiated from off the tee, from the middle of the fairway and around the green. So I'm going for the master, Miguel Ángel Jiménez.
Yeah, I can't really fault that pick. He is extraordinary and he'll continue to play well because, as he said, the next event after this is his warm-up for the US Open at Pinehurst number 2. I'm going to go for Joost Luiten, who is a player I would actually dearly love to see in the Ryder Cup side. I'd love to see his strut in the Ryder Cup team and, you know, win here. Along the way, he's got to keep making money, but it will build his confidence.
I think he will be in the Ryder Cup team. I think it would be a shock if he didn't make the Ryder Cup team. And remember, having won this in just about the same time of year last year, he then went to Holland and won his national championship. He is the full ticket, Luiten, and if he really wants it, he can have it.
Well, let's look forward to seeing how he gets on. It's my Luiten versus your Miguel Ángel Jiménez. That is it for now. We'll be back next week to look back at the Lyonnais Open from Vienna, and then we'll look ahead to the second major of the year, the US Open from Pinehurst number 2. So until next time, from me, Robert Lee, and him over there, Ewan Murray.
Thank you.
Goodbye.